This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with valet Harry Rice. Harry, take me back to the beginning. How'd you wind up in the jocks room?
My father had a job as a Pinkerton, a part-time job. So when I was in high school, I used to come up here. I worked as an usher, and then I actually rang the bell one year, and then I come in the jocks room and was Louis Ola's assistant for a couple of years, and then ended up becoming a valet eventually.
What year was that?
I started in 72.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd make it your career? I mean, you've been here a long time.
No, I actually thought I was going to go to work for the newspapers. My father was a pressman for the New York Times. But when time came to choose, I chose the racetrack.
Why?
I love it. I tell everybody, not only is your livelihood, it's your life. You know, I mean, and now my son's into it. But I just enjoy it. I enjoy the people. It's new people every day. It's just a great time.
Who was your first jockey?
I guess it would be Gene Kruger. Yeah. I had one fellow before just for a couple of days. But, Gene Kruger and I were always close. So when I became a valet, he gave me his tack.
Well, what's he like to work for? I mean, obviously a friend and a kind of co-worker, I guess.
Well, you learned the different language talking to him. You know, he's French. But my daughter Megan took French for 5 years. So I said, here, talk to Gene. She goes, Dad, that's not the French I learned. But he was some horseman. Some rider, and he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's won races around the world.
Yeah, were you there for obviously there for Seattle Slough in 77? What was that like?
Yeah, I didn't work for him then, but I was there. I went to the Derby with him, and I did the walk before anybody else did the walk because he gave me the colors so I can get it for free. So I walked through the backstretch with the colors.
What was the jockstream like back then? I mean, take me through some of the characters, some of the great old jockeys back then.
It was great. I mean, when I come around, it was Turcotte, Cordero, Velasquez, Shoemaker, Pinquet. You know, you heard all the stories about Shoemaker, how he'd go in the box and have an ice cream cone. And they used to play pranks on everybody. They really don't do that much anymore. You know, put a little shampoo in the whirlpool. Guy come out as Mr. Bubbles. And it was just a good thing. And there was some hard riding and clean riding. But they, you know, they knew if you crossed the line, they took care of themselves.
Yeah, kind of a different era than today?
Yeah, even the jumping riders. I know a guy that used to get mad after jumping races, you know?
I don't know who that would be.
Yeah, you, Skiffington, Joe Atchison. He's the first guy that had a flak jacket. Remember, he had homemade shoulder pads and all that stuff like that? Yeah.
Oh, that Joe Atchison, one of the legends of steeplechasing. I mean, a real icon of our game.
Yeah, we used to stay in a rooming house together across the street, and I'm pretty sure you can look it up. It was he rode Happy Intellectual. So the horse was 11, he was 49, and he went wire to wire, you know.
And he'd gotten hurt. He'd gotten hurt the day before, or at least the week before.
A couple days before, and he was laying in the backyard, and the old German woman was rubbing stuff on his back, and he said, "I said, when do you think you're gonna ride?" He says, "Oh, I'll ride," and he. He walked in. He was pretty good when he walked in, but whatever he took to help himself, that wore off. He couldn't walk back to the room.
Yeah, he won the race, though.
Yeah. Yep.
After Gene Kruger, who did you have after that?
Then I had Mike Smith, Mike Luzzi. I've had Mike Luzzi for years. Ramon Perez, who's probably one of the most underrated riders ever. Yeah, Rajiv Mirage. I've fought Chris McCarron. I think it said Nakatani, Frankie Dettori, Yutaki Taki from Japan. I've been very fortunate to have a bunch of guys. John Grabowski, who was like the king of Finger Lakes. He used to come down and win all the races. And I've been very fortunate.
And those guys become family.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Mike Smith and I are very, very close.
Yeah. Who's your favorite? Like picking your children.
Yeah, exactly. Kruger, because he was like the first, but he, and he drive me crazy, you know, but they're all good and they're all close, you know.
So, I mean, you end up spending as much time with these guys as your family. I mean, it really is a family in there.
Yeah, oh, sure. I started with Mike like a couple of months after I got married, and, You know, I'm up here, so my wife always deducts those 2 months, so I actually spent more time with him than I did with her, you know? And some of the memories are tremendous. When Chris McCarron won the race, the Travers, the day is a couple of days after his dad died, I think it was, and he didn't want to ride, and he rode. Mike Smith with Coronado's, I think it was Coronado's Quest, that was a couple of days after my father died. Get shook up. Yeah, you know, and then he got hurt a couple of days later, you know. Luzzy getting hurt on the first day here, you know, me getting kicked. A lot of Saratoga memories, good and bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough place. I mean, it's a camaraderie, a lot of family, but there's a lot of hard days in the jocks room, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember, like it was yesterday, with Mike Venezia, God rest his soul, when he passed away, you know, at Belmont Park. It didn't hit me till I was driving home on the Bell Parkway to come over the news, you know. You know, it's just a shame. Ron Turcotte, when he got hurt, he was a tremendous guy, you know. He's still... And still to this day, he hasn't been around because of the COVID and all that, but he's the most upbeat, pleasant guy you want to meet, you know?
Yeah, and what's your role in those days, those times? I mean, you try to just be there for the jockeys and try to get them through that? I mean, almost like a father or coach, or what's that like?
You know, you try to make it as easy as possible. I remember, like, when Mike fell and broke his back here, you know, we were down in Albany, and he... had his body cast on, you know, everything will be okay, When Leslie broke his femur up here in the first race on a clubhouse turn, you know, you just got to think, okay, just take it easy, let's get through this, and hopefully, everything will work out fine. You know, Rajiv, you know, a couple of injuries he had shouldn't have happened. You know, I mean, when he, just before he was going to ride Wicked Strong, the horse that he basically got dropped a little bit, you know, not on purpose, of course, but the horse stepped on his arm and shattered his arm. You know, it's just a shame.
Yeah, you've seen these guys at their very best and they're probably very worst. They're most the strongest and the most vulnerable.
Oh yeah, and they are strong. You know, it's amazing how some of the falls. People don't understand it, and I tell everybody, you know, it's the only game they follow you in an ambulance in and. They did a pound-for-pound thing years ago, and Shoemaker was stronger than Will Chamberlain. So it just shows you. And the guys today, they're in such good shape. They work out all the time. And you know, this crew we have in New York now, they're just fabulous. You know, led by Johnny Velasquez, who he's like the mentor to everybody up here. You know, and the Ortiz brothers and Luis Saez, and they're all good. They're all, and the best part about it, they're all nice guys. There's not a bad guy in the room.
Not one, come on, it got to be one.
And I'm telling you, and in all the years I've been here, you know, been around, if there's been a handful of bad guys, and, you know, and they kind of weed them out and straighten them out, you know, so it's good. We're like family, we all work together.
Yeah, I always said the jocks room, it's self-policing. You don't tolerate it. One bad guy doesn't get tolerated.
No, uh-uh, that's it, you know. And even back in your days, I remember... They don't fight like they used to, but there used to be some nice ones. And luckily, I'm getting too old now because I was the referee. I used to have to jump in between all the time. But, you know, but everybody, nobody said a word. That's it, you know. You handle it yourself.
Yeah, who was the best fight?
Oh, the legendary Nick Sanagata. Five-rounder. They were running every which way. Whips. Oh, it was crazy. And then a good one was Mike Venezia. There was a Jack Allen Patterson. Who he was, I think they called them tunnel rats in Vietnam, like go in with the dogs for the bombs. So something happened in the race. Mike came back, buckled his helmet, sat down. I said, what's going on? He goes, oh, I cut him off. I said, I got to watch it. He's crazy.
Yeah. And what happened?
Oh, nothing. No. They just talked it out. And then Corey Black and Randy Romero one time, they got in an argument and Corey was real mad, and Randy, rest his soul, said, listen, I've had 21 surgeries. I've had my spleen taken out. I've been set on fire. What are you going to do to me? Corey Black says, you're right. He goes, but you cut me off. He says, I'm sorry. You know? Yeah.
That's how they handle it.
Yep, that's how they handle it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, in the jocks room, you see everybody's personalities. I mean, the fire, like Nick Santagata, that fieriness of him. And then you see the, almost like a kind of quiet, like Mike Venezzi, I remember being really quiet in the jocks room.
Yeah, oh, he was a gentleman. He was very big with the Jockey Guild, helped everybody out. But he had a temper when he needed to have a temper, you know. He went after a guy one time, and it was kind of impressive. Yeah, a fella, they had an argument or something, and the kid said, "I wasn't raised on milk and cookies." And Mike gave him a shot and said, "I was," and the kid just stayed down. Yeah.
But they don't fight like they used to.
No more. They were fun, but they were fun and quick. You know, get it out of your system, and it's over and done with. Right. You know.
Who's the most fiery guy today? I mean, like a bag of Migliori ripping the phone off the wall and Santagata. Who's the most fiery now?
They're not like that no more. They're not. I don't know. That's a good question, and I'd have to really think about that. Nobody really. They were all mellow and now and all that, you know. And they're more family orientated now. You know, the younger guys get married earlier. I guess they have kids. And everything's, you know, peaceful. Very rarely, you know, does it happen.
What would you have done if you weren't a valet?
I probably would have been a pressman for the New York Times, you know? Yeah, that's it. But I'm happy what I decided to do, you know?
Yeah, the racetrack's your family.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I 10 bar on the side, so I said I never had a job. I do what people do on their days off. I go to bars and racetracks.
Yeah. What would be your advice for a young, you know, valet coming into the room? What would be your advice?
Just be nice to everybody. You know, try your hardest, and you just got to roll with the punches. Every time, you know, things change every day, so just get along with it. Like my son's into it now. I tried to chase him away, but he just got a job with my racehorse. You know, he was working for ESPN, but he loves it, so there's nothing we can do.
That's great. I mean, your family's in it, and they make a life out of it. It's great. All right, how about the Sky Beauty Alan Jerkins story?
Yeah, I think it was like 134 pounds or something like that. So the chief used to like to put it up on the withers. So Mike tells me, don't have him put up too high, because if she stumbles, it might slip. So I go up. I go to give him the undergirt, and I pull the saddle back, but I pulled it back a little too far. So he says, I said, "I'm sorry." So we put it up again. This time I didn't push it back far enough. He looks up. He goes, "You work for this jock, don't you?" So I said, "Yeah." He says, "Okay." So I told Mike, "You better win." I said, "If you don't win, we're dead." And she won by many. Yeah.
That's a classic. I mean, we're talking about the jockeys, but the trainers walking out in the paddock and dealing with the trainers over the year. That's another element of it.
Yeah. And 90% of them are great guys, you know. So they're under a lot of pressure and all that stuff. But I never forget, an old valet told me a story one time. A guy, New York breds, when New York breds were a little crazy. This one guy, his horses always acted up. So he said to him, "Listen, how come your horses always acting up?" He says, "Oh, you know, they're New York breds." He goes, "There's 11 other ones standing still. How come you, you know?" Right.
Yeah, and you deal with those guys in pressure moments. I mean, they're a big race. I mean, you're saddling. I mean, it's got to be a little pressure for. Do you feel pressure in those big races, putting a saddle on a horse?
No,
probably not anymore.
Not anymore. No, you know, I mean, I've saddled a whole bunch of them, and all that. The only pressure I used to feel with Lonesome Glory, you know, I worked for Blight Miller, and her father was the trainer, and that horse we used to run around a little bit with, and he'd get nervous, and he'd be spraying the horse down, spraying us down, and Blight be telling him, "Dad, take it easy. You know, so, but there's another one who should be in the Hall of Fame, Blight Miller.
Yeah. No, and Lonesome Glory be carrying 30 pounds of lead.
Oh, yeah, and then she'd ride in a flat race. Yeah, she carried 162 one day, and she carried 119. That's hard on a guy like me, carrying all that weight all over the place. Yeah.
And the Fanticipate question of the day, who's your biggest fan in life?
My biggest fan? I don't know. No. Nobody.
Family member, Mike Smith? I mean, who would it be?
Who I like the best. Yeah. No, my wife, because she puts up with me. Yeah. 32 years. Yeah. So she said, she wanted to do a home improvement the other day. She says, it costs $10,000. She wanted to give me $10,000 and leave.
How much? How old are you now?
I'm going to be 64.
64 now. How much more time do you have in the room? Are you looking at retirement or not?
Definitely. Maybe next year is definitely the last year. Definitely the last year. You know, it's had enough. It's a young man's game, and you know, I can still handle myself around the horses, but I don't like that running around the paddock no more. I call the young guys if I have to do it on a walk. I say, hey, come here. But yeah, I had a great run, and it's time. You know, I want to sit in a beach chair out here with a cooler beer. That's what I want to do, like you used to do on the last Sunday in the meet.
Yeah, you got to heckle him a little.
yeah, definitely. Oh, I'll be good at that. Yeah.
That's Harry Rice, all-time great in New York, Valet of the Stars.